Praise God. Good morning, everybody. Happy New Year. Happy 2017. Hey, I want to do one more thing before I get into the Word. I want to brag on every one of you. I'm so grateful that we had an amazing Christmas Eve service. And the high school was so gracious to let us use their auditorium. And our volunteers worked so hard to set all that up. You came, you brought friends, you brought family. That service, that auditorium holds like 1,200 people. And we had a lot of people in church, and it was amazing. And I'm so grateful for all of you. Listen, folks, we impacted people in this community who've never been to our church. They've never been through our doors, and they were in that service. And many of you brought friends and family. I am so proud of you. I'm so glad I'm your pastor. I'm so grateful to be a part of this church. And I want you to give yourself a hand clap this morning. Would you do that? Amen. Lots and lots of people were ministered to. It was all over social media. And I'm just grateful for you guys. And it was amazing. Amen. Praise God. All right, would you just close your eyes with me? And I'm going to pray for just a moment. And then we're going to get into the scripture this morning. Father, I love you. I'm thankful for 2017. I'm thankful for what you've done in our lives this last year, what you are doing this year. Father God, I thank you that you're going to direct us. You're going to lead us. Our lives are not an accident. Our families are not an accident. And that your hand is on us in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I'm going to read you a scripture this morning that I heard often in my home growing up. This was a verse that my mother would use in our home. Now, before I read it to you, I want to give you a challenge this morning. I can also think of a verse that my grandmother, one of my grandmothers, my dad's mother's favorite verse was Zechariah 4:6. And that verse says, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. She would quote that verse often. The verse I'm going to read to you this morning was one of the verses I heard often from my mother. Then me personally in my life, one of my life verses, if you will, is Jeremiah 29:11. That's why it's on the wall in the church, because that's one of the early verses I found as a Christian that has encouraged me and ministered to me. Now, here's what I want to say to you. What verses are your family hearing in your home from you? Do you have a life verse? Do you have a favorite verse? Do you have a verse that your children hear out of your mouth or your grandchildren hear? Now listen, I'm 61 years old, and I can remember my mother quoting this verse in our home when I was a kid growing up. And so I just want to encourage you as we move into 2017, grab you a verse, grab a truth out of the Word of God, and say it often. Say it at the breakfast table. Say it at the dinner table. Talk to your kids about the goodness of God, because it impacted my life, and many of you have been impacted probably the same way, but I want to encourage you to impact your children and your grandchildren. Now, let me read the verse. It's James 4, starting with verse 13. She did not quote all of this, but I'll pull out the part that she said. Listen to what it says. This is New King James. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, we'll spend a year there, we'll buy and sell, and we'll make a profit. Whereas, you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say this, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or do that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Now, I want to go back to the very first sentence and listen to what it says. He says, come now. Okay? In other words, he's challenging us. If you came up to me and said, hey, Pastor, would you like to lose some weight this year? And I said, yes. You said, well, hey, I've got this vinegar diet, and all you have to do is drink vinegar every day and not eat anything else, and you'll lose weight. I would say, come now, okay? All right, that's the premise of what he's saying. And here's what he's saying. He's saying, come now, those of you who say today or tomorrow, we're going to go to a city, we're going to spend a year, we're going to buy and sell, and we're going to make a profit. Now, here's the first thing I want you to see. Let me tell you what this verse does not say. This verse does not say to not make plans. It does not say that. And I don't want you to hear that in that verse. Well, he's saying in that verse, we're not supposed to have any plans. That's not what he's saying. Listen, I have plans. I have a calendar. Kurt and I already had a meeting, and we talked about the Christmas service next year. I have plans. This doesn't say don't have plans. Here's what it says. It says, don't be arrogant. It says, don't be filled with pride. Don't take credit for your life and what you've done and what you've accomplished. Here's what my mother would always say. She would quote the middle part of that verse, and here's what it says. It says, your life is a vapor that appears for a little while, and it vanishes away. Now, don't miss this. Compared to eternity, our lives are very short. Compared to eternity, our lives are very short. It's later than you think. When Vicki and I got married, my mother was 42. I thought she was Methuselah. Okay? I thought she had one foot in the grave and the other one slipping. I just thought she was ancient. And Vicki's mother and I were talking about it. Her mother was the same age. And we were laughing and we were talking about it. Listen, everybody in this room knows how fast time goes by. As we move out of 2016 and we move into 2017, I want to encourage you in this. It says in this verse, whatever you're doing in your life, make sure you're doing what God says. The last sentence says, to those who know to do good and do not do it, to that person it's sin. Here's what I want to encourage you in, and I'm going to show you some simple things to help you in 2017. Whatever you need to do that you know you need to do that's good, you need to do it. You don't need to wait. Well, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it next week. I'll do it next year. Listen, whatever you need to do, let me narrow it down. What do you mean, Pastor? You talking about me changing the oil in my car? Well, if you need to do it, right? But I'm talking about if you need to forgive, if you need to repent, if you need to tell somebody you love them, whatever you need to do, I want to encourage you to do it because the scripture says we're not promised tomorrow. Our life is a vapor. Now, my mother quoted that verse all the time, and she passed away in 2010, and she's been in heaven for 6 years. She's been in glory with my father and with Jesus and other members of my family, and she would always quote that verse to me. Now, I want to show you some simple things that I want to encourage you to do as a Christian as we move into 2017. Here's the first one, to be aware of the times, and I want to talk to you about it in two ways. First is in your own life personally. What season of life are you in? God has always moved in my life in seasons, really in decades. I mean, I can tell you the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. I can talk to you about how God moved in my life in seasons. What season of life are you in? A lot of times we miss the season we're in because we're looking for something coming later, particularly if you have children at home. Let me give you a couple of simple examples. We were at the house the other day, and Ashley's there, and we're all hanging around because it's the holidays, and I've got my iPad out, and I'm playing on it, and I'm playing songs from the 80s. Then I asked Ashley, I said, hey, do you remember that song? And it was from like 87. And she said, no, Dad, I was born like in 85. I don't remember that song. So I had to fast forward to the year 2000 where she was 15 years old. And as I started pulling up songs from 2000, oh, yeah, she knew that one and she'd heard that one and she'd heard this one. Okay, I was off by 15 years. Now, I can remember as parents when our children were at home, particularly when Ashley was in high school, I can remember how Vicki walked with her through her school days. Now, let me explain to you what I mean. One of the mistakes I see sometimes in parents, and I'm talking Christian parents, is when your kids become high school students, particularly when they're sophomores, juniors, and seniors, I see parents kind of take their hands off their kids, and they kind of move into the mistake of thinking, well, you're an adult now, and so I don't need to parent you. I don't need to walk with you, and it's a mistake. Because your kids aren't adults yet. And Vicki walked with Ashley through high school. Now, what do you mean? Well, she was engaged. She was a mother. She was there. She was connected. She was involved. There were guidelines. And she walked with her all the way through high school and into college. She recognized what season she was in as a mother. So what I'm asking you this morning is, what season are you in? What did I say? Are you aware of the times? Here's the second thing. Let me talk to you just briefly about end times. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, I believe Jesus is coming for the church. And I believe he is going to set up his kingdom, and all things are going to be restored, and all things are going to be made right. I do not know when that is going to happen. Okay, I don't know. The Bible says Jesus doesn't know. But I want to clarify a couple of things for you, okay? I was talking to somebody not very long ago who's in the stock market. They work in that industry. And they said, if you have anything in the market, man, you better get out because it's fixing to get bad. Well, I'm not in the market. I don't know anything about the market. But I just want to tell you something, all right? Jesus said that his plans for you, his plans for me are good, and that he's going to take care of us. Have you ever heard a Christian say, you know, when something bad happens, a Christian will say, well, you know, things are supposed to get worse. Things are supposed to be bad. Listen, folks, there's always been sin on the earth. Has there not? Okay, things have always been sinful. There's always been darkness. But I don't believe the Bible bears that out. Do you know what Jesus himself said? He said in the last days, it'll be in the days as it was when Noah was alive. Now, what does that mean? You may think, well, see, Pastor, it was bad then. Yeah, but let me make a point. Jesus said there's going to be marrying, there's going to be buying, there's going to be selling. Here's the thing. Before Jesus comes, you know what's going to happen? Well, somebody's going to get married. Somebody's going to have a baby. Somebody's going to start a business. Somebody's going to get a job. The Bible says that there will be seed time and harvest as long as the earth remains. In other words, things aren't going to have to get all bad and worse and terrible, and we're hiding out in the wilderness before Jesus comes because it's not biblical. Are you with me? Okay, I got good news. The polar ice caps are not going to melt. We're not going to be covered in water and drowned, all right? Amen? Yeah, come on, you clap. It's okay. All right, God's going to take care of us. Here's the question. Are you aware of the times? What season are you in? And don't miss that season. Here's the second thing as we move into 2017. Stay grounded in God's word. Now, let me encourage you. If you've been reading your Bible, keep reading it. If you haven't been reading your Bible, or maybe you have and you haven't in a while, get started back. Kurt always says, get on the YouVersion Bible app and read the daily verse. Listen, as your pastor, read the New Testament. Get over and read the epistles. Read the Gospels. Read your Bible. Take time to ground yourself in the Word. Listen, you're going to hear things all the time from all kinds of people, but you don't know the truth if you don't know the Word of God. So be grounded in the Scriptures. Make it a part of your routine. Make it a part of your daily life to read the Bible. The other thing is this, and you're doing it. Listen, be in church. When you come in this place, you expose yourself to the presence of God. You expose yourself to His Spirit, and it strengthens you. It encourages you. It ministers to you. Be in church in 2017, and you started the year off great. You're here. You know what Jesus said? My words are spirit and they're life. You see, the Bible is a living book. It's not just news. It's not just information. It's not just history. It's a living book. And when you read your Bible, do you know what'll happen? Well, you'll have more peace in your mind. You'll have more hope and joy in your heart. You'll have more health in your body. And you'll begin to see changes happen in your life because you're feeding on life, which is the Word of God. So this year, make sure you're grounded in the Word of God. Here's the third thing. Stand with God no matter what. C.S. Lewis says most people just simply drift away from God. Now listen, Jesus says he'll never leave you or forsake you. So if you feel distant from God, I can tell you who moved. It wasn't him. Amen? Okay, Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And what happens to us, it's not that we get off into dark, evil sin or do anything bad. Sometimes if you're not careful, you just drift away and you wake up and you don't realize it. All right, listen to what this says. Stay with God no matter what. How do I do that, Pastor? What's that look like? Well, you just do simply what I said, right? What season is it in your life? Stay grounded in the Word of God. Be in church. And you know what happens? You draw close to God. And the Bible says in James, as you draw near to Him, He'll draw near to you. And then what happens? You're standing with Him. Now, I'm not talking about choosing sides. Okay, that's not my heart. I'm not saying, well, if you're a part of this political party, you're on God's side. If you're a part of this political party, maybe you're not on God's side. That's not my heart, and that's not what I'm trying to say. And I know you don't see it that way. What I'm saying is that you're drawing near to the source of life. You're drawing near to God. And as you continually say yes to Jesus Christ, you're on his side, if you will. Does that make sense? It's not about being against anybody. Now, in the sense that I'm certainly against the devil, but I'm more for Jesus Christ than I am the other way. Does that make sense to you? All right, let me show you the next one. Don't be afraid. Now, it's easy to say that, and I know it. God says in the Word that he hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Everybody in this room has a temptation to be afraid of something. We all can face it, right? My father was killed in an accident at his job. After that, the devil has always tried to put fear on me. Now, that may not be your fear. Your fear may be money. Your fear may be having enough to eat. Your fear, whatever you've been through, we can all have a tendency to be afraid. This last week, I went to the eye doctor in Plainview to Dr. Kopp. He's an ophthalmologist. I don't go to get new glasses because I've had eye surgeries and I've had detached retina. I go to the doctor because they want to check my eyes. They want to check the pressure in my eyes. They want to make sure my retina is okay. They want to make sure the optic nerve is healthy and okay. All right. I had an appointment 14 months ago with a doctor. I didn't go. I had a conflict and I wasn't able to go. I called and canceled. Well, I was supposed to reschedule and I didn't. Well, 6 months turned into a year turned into 14 months, and I'm supposed to go every 6 months. Well, a couple of weeks ago, I got a letter in the mail, and here's what it said. It said, it's imperative that you come to the doctor and have your eyes examined. Because of what you've been through, the pressure in your eyes can affect your eyesight, and you won't realize it until it's too late, and then your eyesight can be diminished, and there's nothing we can do about it. And if you don't come in, it's okay. Have a great life. Yeah. Yeah. So I thought, I'm calling and getting an appointment. All right. So I called and got an appointment. I went this last week. They ran these tests. They do all these things that they do. And my eyesight is fine. Everything's the way it's supposed to be. But let me tell you something. I want to tell you why I didn't go to the doctor for 14 months. And it was not because of my schedule. It was because I was afraid. I have made fun of other men in my life because they wouldn't go to the doctor because they were afraid. Hey, have you had your blood pressure checked lately? No, I don't want to go do that. I've made fun of them. Ah, you weenie, right? Man, go to the doctor. Okay, I was guilty of the same fear. And I'm telling you, I'm being honest with you. I didn't go because I thought, what if they tell me something's wrong? So it's smart just to not go, right? Yeah, I'm joking, okay? I went and everything was fine. That was one of the fears I faced this last year. Now I have another appointment in 6 months. Listen to me. You don't have to be afraid. Lean on God and trust in him. Vicki and I have good friends whose wife passed away this last year. She was 60-something years old. And one of her fears was their retirement. She was worried about what they were going to do financially, and it always stressed her out, and it made her angry because she was concerned what they were going to do. She's not concerned anymore. She's with Jesus. But she wasted time and energy worrying about something that didn't happen and that didn't matter. Can I just encourage you? Please don't be afraid. You resist the temptation to be afraid, and you trust in Jesus. One more example, and I'm going to move on. We had an amazing Christmas Eve service. I was tortured all day. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, Kurt worries that there's going to be a glitch in the sound. He's worried that that's going to happen. I never worry about that because Jason Birkenfeld is on the job. So I just don't worry about it. Honestly. You know what I worry about? You all stay home. That's what I worry about. Okay, so all day long, I was tormented. My stomach hurt. I'm just telling you the truth, all right? I prayed, because you would say, Pastor, did you pray? I prayed, and I did, and I resisted the devil like I'm supposed to, and I did, and it all came through. But here's the thing. After it's over, you know what I heard the Holy Spirit say? Did you not think I had this? And I'm like, I know, Lord. I know you had it. And you both know what I did. I wasted my emotional energy on something that did not matter and did not happen. Don't be afraid. Let me give you the next one. God's side is the winning side. Again, I'm not wanting you to think politically. That's not my heart. The Bible says, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. All right? The devil is defeated. Darkness is defeated. And I know Jesus Christ is my Savior, and heaven is my home. And no matter what I'm facing, no matter what I'm going through, I'm on the winning team. I'm on the winning side. I've told you this story before. When I was a little boy, I played softball, and my dad was the coach, and I wanted to play first base. And my dad didn't have me on first base because, honestly, I wasn't good enough to. There was another boy who was better than me. Okay, I grew up in a two-bedroom, one-bath house that was very small, and there was one wall separating my parents' bedroom from my bedroom. And as I'm laying in my twin bed next to my brother in his twin bed, I heard my mother say to my father, as long as I'm your wife and Rusty's your son, he will play first base. Guess who played first base? Okay, what's the point of that story? Your dad, your father, your heavenly father is the coach, and you're on the right team. And you don't have to be afraid. You are on the winning side, and Jesus is going to take care of you. He's going to walk with you. No matter what you're facing, he wants to be there for you. Amen? Let me give you the next one. This is the last one. Make your heart completely God's. Let me explain to you what I mean. All right, Christianity is a journey. I'm on a journey in my relationship with God. Vicki always says we cultivate love. I always tell my wife I love her, and I mean it. When she dresses for the day, I always tell her she looks cute and she looks pretty, and I mean it. And when I do those things, I'm not doing it to get points. I'm not doing it to get her off my back. I do it because I mean it. And what happens is I'm cultivating love. We cultivate our relationship no different than you would a garden or a field of crops. You know as well as I do, you cultivate. It's the very same way with God. Listen to what it says now. Don't miss this. Make your heart completely God's. For weeks, I've been encouraging you to use the name of Jesus. This week, when you're in your vehicle and you're on the way to work or you're going to lunch, just say the name of Jesus out your mouth. You don't have to say anything else with it. Just say Jesus. You don't have to holler. You don't have to scream. You don't have to be spiritual or religious. Just say that name. The Bible says that it is the name above every name. And you know what happens when you say the name of Jesus? It dispels darkness and it brings light. It brings hope. It brings comfort. It brings peace. It dispels darkness. It dispels oppression. And you just say the name of Jesus. Now, here's what else you can do. And I've been talking about it. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for saving me. And I'm just saying these things randomly. Jesus, thank you for being my peace. Jesus, thank you for being my healer. Jesus, thank you that when I'm lonely, you're there with me. Jesus, when I have despair, you're my hope. Are you following me? All right, now when you do that, do you know what you're doing? You're cultivating your relationship with God. And instead of never mentioning him or never talking to him, you're speaking his name. Now again, you're not being weird. You're not being religious. It's just normal everyday life. I have a relationship with Jesus, just like I have a relationship with my wife and with my children and with you. And you know as well as I do, the more time we spend together, the better our relationship becomes. It's the same with him. So I want to encourage you to make sure that your heart completely belongs to God. All right, God, here's my life. I surrender. Here's my 2017, and I'm going to need your help. I'm going to need your comfort. I'm going to need your hope. I'm going to need your courage. Lord, here's my heart. Take it. It belongs to you. Listen, my heart belongs to Vicki. My heart belongs to Jesus. My heart belongs to you as your pastor. My heart belongs to Tulia. I love this city. I don't love this city because I'm a good person. I don't love this city because it's a beautiful, wonderful place. I love it because of Jesus Christ, and he sent me here. Are you with me? Okay, give him your heart. And you might even say it. These next few days, these next few weeks, throughout your day, you might just say, Jesus, I give you my heart. Jesus, I give you my heart. I want my heart to belong to you. Think how as a Christian we can go through the motions. But if we don't love God, right? What does the Bible say? It's worthless. See, if I'm doing all these things to get God to like me, I'm wasting my time. But when I do them because I love Jesus, which I do and I know you do, it changes everything. Just briefly, be aware of what season you're in. Stay grounded in God's word. Read his word and be in church this year. Stand with God no matter what, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through. Dive into his arms. Don't be afraid. Resist the temptation to fear. God's side is the winning side. And make sure your heart completely belongs to him. Would you close your eyes and let me pray for you this morning? Now, I've got just a few minutes before we dismiss. I've got a moment. And with your eyes closed for privacy, this is a great Sunday as we leave 2016 and we move into 2017. This is a great Sunday to do just what I said, to give him your heart. All right, you're here and you may be a Christian and you may have been a Christian for years, but it's a great opportunity this morning to say, Jesus, fresh and new, I give you my life. Fresh and new, I give you my heart. Fresh and new, I give you 2017. All right, and then you may be here this morning and you don't know Christ. You're not a Christian. See, if you can't remember when you invited Christ into your life, then maybe you haven't. And if you feel like, well, I think I have, but I don't remember, you can do what I did. I asked the Lord to remind me of when that happened, and I now have a vivid memory of when that happened in my life. But I want to give you an opportunity, fresh and new, to say yes to Jesus. So I just want you to do it by simply giving God a nod with your hand. You say, Pastor, I want what you're talking about. Would you just slip your hand up this morning where Jesus can see it? You're not doing it for me. You're doing it for him. You just say, Jesus, I want you in my 2017. I want you fresh and new. Or I want to invite you into my life maybe for the very first time. Now, I'm going to pray a simple prayer called a believer's prayer, and I want to invite you to join with me. Would you repeat this prayer? Say, Father God, thank you for Jesus. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross, being raised from the dead, so I could be saved. Jesus, I give myself to you, fresh and new, or maybe for the first time. I give you my year, my 2017. Fill me with your life, your love, your grace, your strength. In Jesus' name, amen.